Go ahead. Phones.
Please, turn off your cell phones.
Please turn your cell phones off.
So Justice sets an example.
Is this working?
They say
it's not working.
Hello?
I'll do without it.
Are there source sheets?
Is there
source sheets?
Right. Did you turn? I know source sheets.
Just heard
a song. I am the source sheet tonight. Interruptle, did you turn on the... it's on. Okay. All right. It's on.
Remind us to turn on the cell phone at the end.
Mo'adim l'simcha to everybody. Mo'adim l'simcha. And we should all be zeiche, eis beit nagid gesind yor gemach atimat hava and chag sameach. It has become tradition for me now, I think it's about 10 years, that Hoshana Rabbah night, I talk about the Ushpizin. We invite guests into our sukkah every night of Sukkot, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, etc. Now, there were great rebbes. I think it was Rabbi Elimelech Milozhinsk who said that he saw the Ushpizin. He saw them. Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mikotsk said he never saw the Ushpizin, but he heard them. Sholem Gold of Harnof never saw the Ushpizin. He never heard the Ushpizin, but every year he uses his imagination to figure out, what are they saying to us? They are definitely coming in to say something to us. They're not coming in to listen to us. They're coming to bring a message. And every year, I try to figure out what they have in mind for us. Avraham Avinu. I don't think I'm going to get much further than Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu comes into the sukkah the first night, and incidentally, he returns every night, together with all the other Ishmaelites. He returns. Avraham Avinu, I can see that he's happy, he's excited, and he's also sad. A whole medley of emotions. Avraham Avinu walks in and he says, I can't believe it. 4,000 years ago, I discovered the existence of God. I didn't know how long this idea might last in history. Maybe 2-3 generations down the line, it will come to an end. 4,000 years later, and my message is still there. It's unbelievable. And not only my message is still there, I remember the Rebbein Shem promised me that he's going to bring my children to the land. He did it. You were exiled twice, but you're back. And you're back to stay. It's unbelievable. I'm overjoyed. I knew God would keep his promise. But when? He did it. He comes into the sukkah. I'm not so sure how he feels when he comes into a sukkah in Chutz Laretz. But I'm certain that when he comes into a sukkah in Eretz Yisrael, he is overwhelmed with joy. And then he says, Kinnelach, in 4,000 years, nothing has changed. You know what they call me? They called me Avraham HaEvri. The whole world is on one side, and I'm on the other side. Kinnelach, that's exactly your situation in the world. The whole world is on one side, and you are on the other. You're a unique, special people. They despised me, they despise you. They wanted to destroy me, they wanted to destroy you. Don't worry. Don't worry. The end of the story, that's the most important thing. Who laughs last? Kinderlach? You're going to laugh last. No question about it. there are other things, and in order that we should understand what's going through the mind of Avraham Avinu, so I want to tell you a little story. In March of 1979, since I was then living in the United States, I was Rabbi Ben Gisel of West Hempstead. I also happened to be the president of the Council of Young Israel Rabbis, an extremely prestigious and important position. I'm still overwhelmed with my own importance. I never took it seriously. But one day, I think this is getting me very nervous. I can't hear what you're saying. Turn off the thing, I can talk. I have a big, a loud voice. I have a loud voice.
No, eloquent.
I can do without it.
I'm sorry.
Turn it off.
Nobody knows what it is.
It's the mic.
The bank.
The microphone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
That's right. You're terrific.
All right. I don't need the mic. So, getting back to my moment of greatness, March 26, 1979, since I was president of the Council of Young Israel Rabbis in all of America, from coast to coast.
Wow.
Very, I told you already, was a very august and impressive position to hold. I received by telegram an invitation from President and Mrs. Carter to be present at the signing of the Israel-Egypt peace treaty on the White House lawn. Put on a new suit, tie, shine my shoes, got on to the Eastern Airlines shuttle to Washington, and there were others, there were Chabon and different organizations, there were a lot of people were invited, no, not many people, only select people were invited to the White House lawn. There were three speakers, the three Mechatonim. Carter spoke first, President Carter. No, Carter. Carter spoke first. Okay. Anwar Sadat spoke second, and Menachem Begin spoke third. Carter comes to the end of his speech. It was fascinating. Every time I think of it, it's unbelievable. Carter comes to the end of the speech, and in his southern drawl, he says, and as the prophet Isaiah said, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift sword against nation, and they will no longer study warfare. The famous pasuk in Yeshayahu. V'chitetu charvotam li'itim v'chanitotehem l'nazmeidot lo yisog goy el goy cherev v'lo yilmedu ol milchama. Anwar Sadat speaks second. Anwar Sadat comes to the end of a speech, and in his Sadatian manner of speaking, he says, the prophet Isaiah said, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. I'm telling you, that's exactly the way he said it. Nation shall not lift sword against nation. They shall no longer wage war. Two down. Menachem Begin comes toward the end of his speech. I see what's coming. He pulls his kippah out of his pocket and he puts it on. And he says, if I'm not mistaken, it was both in Hebrew and in English, as the prophet Isaiah said, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. for a brief few seconds, I thought, oh, Prime Minister Begin, you speak extemporaneously. You could have come up with something else. But no. Lightning strikes three times. And he says those psukim. And then it occurred to me, and it's 33 years now that I'm doing tshuva on those few seconds that I questioned his wisdom. Do you know what took place there? I don't think anybody in the world understood. They didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue what happened there. Carter, the frumer Christian, with most probably the largest staff of speech writers, combed all of world literature to find one sentence that can express in the most powerful way men's desire for peace. And shucks, it wasn't in the New Testament, it wasn't in any of the other books. He could only find one pasuk, Yeshayahu. Anwar Sadat, the Muslim, with all of his speech writers, all of the president's men, his whole big staff, they scoured 1,000 years of fatwas. And they're looking for a pasuk that describes man's hope for peace. Shucks! Couldn't find anything that expresses it better than a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Isaiah the prophet. Menachem Begin isn't a fool, he's a smart guy. He gets up there and he's thinking to himself, I can see it. I'm an anacle! I'm an anacle! I come from Yeshaya! He's my Navi! The Christian can't find anything better. The Muslim can't find anything better. Who has the right? Who should say the pasuk? I'm the one who should say it. They stole it. But mine, this is mine. Which means the following. We are accused daily throughout the world of being the obstacle to peace in this world. So you know what we have to understand? Never lose sight of the fact we discovered peace. We are the ones that gave this legacy. Oseh shalom b'mchomo hu yaseh shalom. Olein v'akoyeso. Shalom. Anybody who made a siyum on daf yomi of brachas, all the psukim of Shalom, he Shalom v'chel chelech shal v'vam and say, Hashem oz l'yamo yitain, Hashem yivarech zama v'shalom. Hadam olach v'sech the brachas. Beautiful. Avraham Avinu is very involved in all of this. First of all, he reminds us, Chevra, I discovered God. If you never read Paul Johnson's History of the Jews, it may be worthwhile to read it. And if 500 pages is too formidable for you, you can just read the prologue and the epilogue. In the prologue, he describes what the purpose of... He's a guy. What the purpose of the History of the Jews is. He says, I'm trying to figure out what would have happened if Abraham would never have discovered God. What would happen to the world? If there wouldn't have been a man like Avraham Avinu who walked the face of this earth, who made this great discovery, what would have happened to the world? 500 pages later, in the epilogue, he says, nobody else would have discovered it. The world would simply have disintegrated into war and destroyed itself. Avraham Avinu made the most momentous discovery of all. As the Rambam describes it, it's a beautiful Rambam. The Rambam describes how during the generations from Adam until Noah and then from Noah to Avraham, man progressively forgot the God that created them. On Ad Shenolad, the Rambam says, such a beautiful piece. Ad Shenolad Eitan Zeh, until this mighty one Avraham was born. And when he was born into a society, into a city, into a family that worshipped idols, and he worshipped idols with them. But then, in his youth, he began to question. He began to have doubts about it. Avraham Avinu went through 30, 40 years of extremely painful, excruciating meditation and pondering until he arrived at a decision. The whole world is wrong! They're all wrong! He made a number of other discoveries along the way. He made a discovery that is not, it's his responsibility to share his discovery with the world. And he knew that it was going to cause him a great deal of grief, that he would be in great danger. The world doesn't like innovators. They don't like people with newfangled ideas. The world doesn't like people who shake up the normal order of things. Idolatry was something that had become industrialized, commercialized. Who knows how many guys were making a panosa on idolatry? They don't want to hear what Avraham Avinu has to say. They don't want to hear. And he indeed found himself in grave danger. Nimrod threw him into the Kifshar Hesh. And there it is, Avraham. And Avraham emerges unscathed, unharmed. Miracle of miracles. An indication of what's going to happen with his children. They're going to go through extremely difficult times in history. And miracle of miracles, they're going to emerge. It's unbelievable. So here is this Avraham Avinu, made the discovery that there's a God. Second, he went ahead and he decided that he has to share it with the world. And then he went a number of steps further. Maybe we'll leave that for a little while. We're going to talk about peace. That's what we're talking about, peace. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. So here it is. By the way, Avraham is sharing this information with us in the Sukkah. And he tells us, we read the Psukim, and I don't think we get it, really. We don't really get it, but you're going to get it now. Torah tells us about a period of 26 years during which there was a world war going on. Four kings against five kings. You'll read the Psukim, you get the Parshas Lech Lecha. You're going to see it's a struggle that involves the whole world for 26 years. The five are subdued by the four for a period of 12 years. Then they rebel for 13 years. Is tuts a competition in a bank? The world is blowing up. Did anybody do anything about it? Did anybody say anything about it? No. But what happens? They made the tragic mistake of capturing Lot, Avraham's nephew. And in one brilliant night, the midnight ride of Avraham Avinu, one if by land, two if by sea. The redcoats are coming. And then Avraham Avinu goes out there and he crushes the mighty four kings. And then, it's amazing, he comes back from battle after this awesome victory. It says, Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, Malki Tzedek, the king of Sholem, Targum says Melech Sholem, king of Sholem, is Yerushalayim. He's the king of the city of peace. The prince of peace comes out to greet him, and he tells him, and he's Kohen Le'el Elyon, to the Almighty God, by the Baruch Hu, and Malki Tzedek blesses him, and he said, Baruch Avram, blessed is Avram Le'el Elyon, and blessed is the God that has given the oppressors of love of him into his head. Where in heaven's name was Malki Tzedek, who's the great Kohen of all these nine kings, He's the great prince of peace in the world. Has he opened up his mouth during all of these 26 years? Did he lift a finger? He most probably talked peace, but never did anything for peace. This pasuk is an indication of what the world is all about. There are those who talk peace, and there are those who make peace. You know what Avraham Avinu was telling us? Chevra, do you know how you're going to make peace? One massive strike against the enemy. That's the way it's going to happen. It's not going to happen any other way. It's an extremely important message that he's telling us. Nobody is going to stand up for you. Nobody is going to help you get Lot back. You have to do your own thing. And by the way, this Avraham, I don't think he's going to say this in the Sukkah. Because maybe he does. I don't know. Maybe he does. You know what Avraham says? You know what I'd like you Jews to do? I want you to learn Parshas Lech Lecha. You learn Parshas Lech Lecha. And you know what you're going to find? People can learn Parshas Lech Lecha their whole lives and not notice what's happening there. Avraham Avinu was told by God, go to Eretz Yisrael. He comes to Eretz Yisrael. He travels through the land, comes to the south. There's a famine, a hunger in the land. Avraham Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim. On his way to Mitzrayim, he says, Sarah, you're a beautiful woman, Sarah. You better, if you care about my life, we better say that we're brother and sister. Brother and sister. And you know what that means, of course, that Avraham is going, and Sarah are going to cross the border, as our Zaydas did, zum geschwärzte Grenitz. You know what schwarzing the Grenitz means?
No.
They don't have a clue. They don't know Yiddish anymore. It's unbelievable. I think Avraham Avinu knew Yiddish, and they don't know Yiddish. To schwarz a Grenitz is by night, in the dark, cross a border. To cross a border illegally. And if you come, he comes with a passport. They both present their passports. And the passport says brother and sister. And they come to Mitzrayim. And what happens when they come to Mitzrayim? What happens in Mitzrayim? Avraham Avinu, wherever he is waiting in fear for the inevitable knock on the door. And it comes. And Esther is taken forcibly.
Sarah.
Another story.
By the way, I can give you a whole Torah. The Medrash says, you know why Esther ruled over 127 states? Because Sarah lived 127 years. Even when I make a mistake, it's Torah. I don't take myself seriously. She's taken forcibly to the house of Pharaoh. Avraham is helpless. Helpless! Then read a few psukim later. He finds out that Lot has been captured. He gathers his men and goes out against four mighty kings. What happened? What happened? 20 psukim earlier, he's terrified. And they take Sarah and he's helpless. The same helpless man. Lot is taken. He goes out and crushes the evil in the world. Of course, the answer is a very simple answer. And the answer has been true throughout all of history. Throughout all of history. Avraham in Mitzrayim is one kind of Avraham. Avraham in Eretz Yisrael is a completely different Avraham. Jews never won a battle in all of history in Chutz Lars. We never won. The closest we ever came was the uprising of the Warsaw Ghetto, which was heroic and was powerful, but it was clearly understood that winning means that we all die. There was no victory there. There was a victory for the dignity of the Jewish people. What no other occupied people in Europe were able to do during the whole war. Starving Jews in Warsaw were able to do. Hashanah Harpa on all of the goyim in Europe. None of them. not the Hungarians, not the Poles, not the Czechoslovakians, garbage, not the French, none of them. But we never won the battle in Chutz Lars. Avraham Avinu in Mitzrayim, help us. Avraham Avinu in Eretz Yisrael, by the way, he's telling us that also. Guys, you're living in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rebbe Hashem is giving you great strength and great power. So, you know, I tell you, I get so excited about it. 70 years ago, Jews were being taken in cattle cars to their deaths. You couldn't get Franklin Delano Roosevelt to bomb the rail lines to Auschwitz. Fast forward, a whole world today is concerned, what will Israel do or when will Israel strike? It's awesome what has taken place in 70 years. Awesome! They know we can do it. That's a gift from the Rabbeinu Shalala. It's a whole different world we're living in. And sometimes we walk around and we're not even aware of it. We have our complaints and our hands and our heads and the traffic jams in Yerushalayim are impossible. And then when I'm stuck in traffic in Yerushalayim, you understand, and I'm ready to go and do the terrible thing of honking, my wife says, no. What would Rabbi Akiva have said about a traffic jam in Yerushalayim? Rabbi Akiva would have said, Rebbeinu Shalaylam, the streets of Yerushalayim are filled with the elderly. Children are playing in its streets. That's what Rabbi Akiva predicted. His great pasuk was the pasuk in Zechariah, and we're here. It must have been about a year ago. I said that are we young people who come here for a year to learn either the yeshivas or the girls' schools, if they leave without the excitement of knowing that the prophecies are being fulfilled before their very eyes over here, if they can't walk through the streets of Yerushalayim and say, heavens, what's going on over here? That was what Rabbi Akiva told the rabbis when they were up on Har HaTzofim and they saw fox coming out of the Holy of Holies. Yeah. They saw destruction before their very eyes. And he says, there will yet be the elderly men and women sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim and children, boys and girls playing. You know, it's like, you know, my grandchildren tolerate me. Not only they tolerate me, sometimes I even get certain messages across. Today we were sitting in a sukkah with one of our families, and one of my aunts says, and he's in a real Haredi yeshiva, but my aunt, even the Haredi, you understand, their heart is white. Their heart has a kippah smug on it. So he tells me, you know, I asked my friends in the yeshiva, is the prophecy of Zechariah fulfilled? Did it happen? Do we see it? You know what? No. Are they blind? No. They're not blind. They've just been trained that there's nothing good going on around here. That's Yainim, and even worse to the Mizruchinikis, and there are Mechal Shabbos, and there are Oichle Dreyfus. It's unbelievable. They can't see with their own eyes. I'm telling you, I can cry from it. Anyway, Avraham Avinu, you know, I better get back to, you know, I'm running off in all sorts of directions over here. But, you know, that's okay. Avraham Avinu is telling us when he comes into the sukkah, Chevra, you're in Eretz Yisrael. You, like me, have a whole world against you. you, like me, are going to have to do what you have to do because nobody in the world is going to do it for you. This is an extremely important message that comes from that comes from Avraham Avinu. But there's a lot more. Avraham Avinu's personality is extremely significant. And it bothered me until I believe I got the answer. The Rambam, when he describes this great, mighty mind, he describes him as a genius. Avraham Avinu, by dint of his own genius, was able to discover something the whole world had forgotten, that there's a God. And you know what happens to this man, Avraham Avinu? He is considered the pillar of kindness. Torah, Avoda, and Gmilus Chasadim, Avraham is Gmilus Chasadim, Yitzchak Avinu is Avoda, and Yaakov is Torah. I would have thought that Avraham Avinu should be the pillar of Torah. Avraham Avinu had discovered not only God, but he discovered the whole Torah before it was given, and he kept the Torah. And Avraham Avinu, awesome genius, becomes the pillar of Chesed. All you have to do is read the beginning of Parshat Vayera. He's 99 years old. It's the third day after he's undergone circumcision. He sees three dusty bedevina. That's how Rav Soloveitchik described it. Dry bedevina, three bedouins on the road, and all of a sudden this Avraham Avinu was going into action. A life that couldn't, a gate. What's going on? If he would have asked his local Orthodox rabbi, you know, I would have told him, listen, you're 99 years old, third day after Brit Milah, take Akamol, drink orange juice, stay in bed, and then don't get out until you're healed. Don't play with your health, you know. You're not what you were 50 years ago. And this man, I'll tell you the truth, the chesed of Avraham at the beginning of Parshas Vayera is completely absurd. Anybody who's going to pull Avraham Avinu's shtick is an absolute nut. Totally absurd. So what happened to him? Avraham Avinu, the great genius, what happened to him? I'll tell you what happened to him. And here I have to introduce you to a second book by Paul Johnson. Paul Johnson wrote a book, I think every year I chazer it over. Understand? I think it's time. Time is coming for me to pull it out again. It's called The Intellectuals. What a book. What a book. He takes the top intellectuals of the last 200 years and gives a biography of them. I'm just going to deal just with Rousseau. Rousseau is the father of modern education. Okay? Rousseau's wife had five children. He never permitted her to bring any of them home from the hospital. He gave them over into orphanages. Never saw them again or looked at them. He refused to take them home. Rousseau says about himself, never has there been a man who has the capacity of love that I do. Show me a man with my love. Man was a smart, raving Meshuggah, an absolute certified Meshuggah, but brilliant. Brilliant. What he wrote, and in fact modern education is based on the writings of Rousseau, in his personal life, he was stark, raving mad. He was a Hosha Mahosha. Because I call it the dark side of genius. There's a dark side to genius. There's something you pay for being a genius. My wife always says that I'm on the right side. I didn't cross the line of genius, thank God. I'm just a plain guy, plain guy. Geniuses are the ones that have the feeling that they are a law unto themselves. They can do whatever they want to do and get away with it. By the way, usually they do. Usually they do. Ah, he goes through some of the greatest writers and scientists of the last 200 years. One of them is crazier than the other. They should all be in a nut house on this. And Avraham Avinu understood. I think his greatest discovery was the discovery of the danger to his own personality. With his brilliance, he could have, God forbid, fallen into the trap of genius. And you know what he decided to do? He was going to make himself the greatest man of kindness to every human being. He went to the opposite extreme. And that's why Avraham Avinu, his greatness was not so much his genius as his ability to turn himself into the image of absolute kindness to the point of it being illogical. That was his greatness. And he tells us about that in the Sukkah, and I'll tell you why he tells it. Gemara says we are the children of Avraham Avinu. We inherited from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov mighty and powerful feelings, emotions, conduct. I have to tell you, I was literally broken up. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 or 3 weeks ago? A Sunday morning. I bring my Jerusalem Post into the house, and I see a beautiful, beautiful picture of a 20-year-old soldier who was killed at the Egyptian border. Netanel Yahalomi Hashem Imkom Damo. We know what happened there. He and a few of his friends went out to give water to refugees who were in the desert. And the Rishayim used that as the moment to attack them. They were mingled together with these refugees, you understand? The most awesome and beautiful thing. They're going out to take water. You know what you saw in that? You saw the two forces of the world. The forces of evil and the forces of good. You see, on the one hand, a culture of life and a culture of death. They were coming with four belts. Four guys were going to blow themselves up someplace in Eretz Yisrael and kill. Two cultures that are locked in struggle. The culture of Avraham Avinu against the culture of evil. Somebody I know well, he was our Val Musaf in the Ramada. The Yalomi family lives directly across the street from him in Nofa Yalom. And after I said this in the Drosha Kol Nidre night, he comes over to me and he says, "Rabbi, you won't believe it. At about 12 o'clock, when it's Yom Shabbos, the committee of four that have to notify a family that their son has fallen came to the door. They knocked on the door. The father, Shmuel, answered the door, and he sees the four faces. He knows what's coming. And they tell him that on Friday, his son fell in battle. And the man stands there. He tears clear. He looks at his four guests and says, B'Shem U'Malchus Baruch Ato Hashem, L'keinu Melech Olam Dayan Ha'emet. That takes strength. That takes strength. That's B'nei Bono Shel Avraham Avinu. That's Avraham. That's Yitzchak. That's Yaakov. Ours is a culture of chesed, a culture of life. And by the way, this little Medina has assisted over 100 countries in the world in every area of technology, medicine, economics, you name it. This little hated and despised country, that if only they'd get rid of us, there would be peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. Unbelievable. Avraham Avinu says, it broke me up when I saw my Einikel going out there to give water to thirsty human beings, and he's cut down. Thank God at least he was able to kill one of the terrorists, and the number of other soldiers came in and killed the rest. Otherwise, there would have been a ribbon in the country. Who knows what they would have been able to do. So Avraham comes into the sukkah, and he has a great deal to say to us. He's telling us, this culture of chesed that I established, that's the hallmark of the Jewish people. Don't ever lose sight of that. Of course, Yitzchak and Yaakov have a lot of wonderful things to tell us. Yitzchak, well, I'll tell you, the only reason I mention Yitzchak now is because Yitzchak had bad press recently, and I was very upset with that. It's terrible. This was also Jerusalem Post, but it wasn't their fault. some people are very stupid. You ever come across a phenomenon like that? There was this hurricane in New Orleans. Hurricane Isaac. And they interviewed one of the heads of the Federation or one of the other Jewish organizations there, and the Kleiser Talmud Chochem, you understand, the idiot, is quoted in the Jerusalem Post. Well, you know, Isaac was a very problematic character. You know, his wife and his son were able to do anything they want with him. He was very gullible, he was very naive. And you know, so I don't think we have to worry too much about Hurricane Isaac. I'll tell you, I sat there and I read that I wanted to tear Korea. I wanted to tear Korea. Everybody thinks that he's a Greiser Talmud Chochem and can learn Pshat and Chumash and come up with every idiocy in the world. And that's also, that's my opinion, that's why I see it. By the way, there are rabbis also that come up with nonsense. Nonsense is not the purview of non-clergy. Clergy can also say nonsense. And here I sat there and I didn't know what to do with myself. Yitzchak was a powerful figure. You have to read those parashas carefully. After the death of Avraham, the Plishtim, you understand, in Gaza, they stopped up all the wells that Avraham had dug. You know what it means to stop up wells in this country? Water is the most important commodity that we need. How do you go ahead, and especially Gaza, the south, water is precious. How do you stop up those wells? You know why they did it? Because Avraham gave names to each one of the wells. And you know what the names were? The names were one form of description of God or another. He wanted to use that as a means of getting the God idea across to the world. You went to a bear, you went to a well, and you know it was the divine well. It was God's well. It was the Lord's well. All's well that ends well. And here it is. All his wells, their purpose was not merely to give water, but to let people know that this great life-giving gift for which a young man was killed, that life-giving gift comes from God. But they didn't want to know of God, so they stopped up the wells in order to make sure that the message of Avraham Avinu will be forgotten forever. Now you know why I told you at the beginning? that when Avraham Avinu comes in to the sukkah this year, he says, Chavra, 4,000 years, and our discovery is still moving the whole world. They pushed him right after his death, wanted to kill, destroy, cover the message of Avraham. Let me ask you to go ahead defiantly and re-dig those wells. That's some naive, itsy-bitsy guy who doesn't have any courage. That took tremendous courage from Yitzhak. And then when Avimelech finally comes to apologize to him, he says, Lama batam elai, why did you come to me? Atem smetem oti, you hate me. You know what it means to say that to, maybe Netanyahu should say that to Obama. Mm-hmm. You know? Yitzchak is able to say directly to the king of Plishtim, what are you doing here? You hate me, you despise me. That's somebody who doesn't have courage, who's manipulated by his wife and his son. I need an hour or two to explain that parasha to you. But don't let anybody ever get away with that kind of nonsense. Yitzchak was the Ola Tamima. He was the one that was brought on the Mizbeah. He was the one that never set foot out of Eretz Yisrael. He was the Holy One that the Rosh wanted him to be here.
So when they cared about the
Jews. Yaakov Avinu. Any comments when I'm finished? When that camera goes off? Nothing. Okay? Yaakov. I'll tell you one thing about Yaakov, and I think we'll call it a night. I talked to you about two Avrams, right? I talked to you about I once called them Avram 1 and Avram 2. Avram 1 is Avram in Mitzrayim. Avram in Mitzrayim is waiting for the inevitable knock on the door. They're going to come and they're going to take Sarah, and they take her. A parasha further. Perek further, Avraham Avinu in Eretz Yisrael goes out and wages war against the four mighty powers of the day. We don't notice it because one incident appears at the end of Parashat Vayetze, and the second one appears at the beginning of Vayishlach. By the time we start next week's Seder, we forgot last week's Seder. So I'll remind you. At the end of Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu has taken the opportunity that his father-in-law is off shearing the sheep someplace. He gathers his wife and his children and escapes. He runs from his father-in-law, riding hard for 7 days across the mountaintops of Mesopotamia. Lavan finds out that Yaakov fled. In one day, he catches up with Yaakov. And what ensues there? What a fascinating scene. One of the greatest speeches in all of literature is there. If you stole my daughters, why did you have to take my gods? And he goes and he looks through everything that Yaakov owns in order to find his idols. He doesn't find it. You know what a degrading thing it is? You ever had them go through all of the stuff in your suitcase, you know, in the airport? Very degrading. And here it is, Yaakov can't do a thing. And then finally, 20 years of welled up anger comes out in one of the greatest speeches in all of literature. Ma'pishiu ma'chatosi. He says to his dear father-in-law, what did I do wrong? Why do you pursue me? For 20 years I worked for you. In the cold of night, in the heat of day, I served you with such devotion. Great speech. It's the speech that would be said by all of the exploited of history. What's the response after the... What happens at the end of the speech? You know what You know what love says? The sons are my sons. The daughters are my daughters. The chol asher atachoe, and whatever you see over here, Leo, it's all mine. You know what? Yaakov goes off into the sunset. Beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. Esav is coming toward him with 400 men, armed to the teeth. What does he do? Immediately puts his entire camp on a war footing. Divides them in two. In Yavor, if Esav is going to come to one camp, the other will be able to survive. Does he plead with him? Does he make great speeches? Oh no, he's ready to fight. You know what happens? He indeed scares the wits out of Esav. Esav is going to slink off into the sunset. What's the difference? You should be able to tell me the difference. The Yaakov Lavan confrontation was in Chutz Laaretz. The Yaakov Esav confrontation was in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov of Eretz Yisrael is a completely different Yaakov. Just like the Avraham Avinu. You know, I'll give you one more example. You got one more minute for another example. The famous Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos says, Ashrei goes according to the Aleph Beis, but there's no Nun. Every letter of the Aleph Beis in Ashrei, but you don't have Nun. So the Gemara says, why is there no Nun? Because Nun represents the idea of falling. And we don't want a pasuk like that. And even though David didn't write a pasuk with Nun, but in the very next pasuk, he gives support to the Jewish people. Someich Hashem l'chol hanoflim. God supports all those who fall. And they bring a pasuk. Noflo besulas Yisrael, lo sosif kum. Israel has fallen. The virgin of Israel has fallen. She will no longer rise. The next line in the Gemara says, b'ma'arova amri. In Eretz Yisrael, they learned the pasuk differently. Nafla, she has fallen. Lo tosif, she will never fall again. Because in Eretz Yisrael, they saw things completely in a different light. In Bavel, Talmud Bavli, they saw the fall of a Jewish community as meaning that the Jewish community is ended for all time. Eretz Yisrael, never like that. Nafla, Lok Tosif, not going to happen again. Kum Besulas Yisrael, arise. So I think that the Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov coming into the Sukkah, and they're giving us tremendous messages of encouragement. They are telling us, Chevra, you've done a good job of survival now for 4,000 years. My message is still alive with the Jewish people. The ideas of chesed, kindness, that I've inculcated into you to the point that you are Moser Nefesh, literally, self-sacrifice for the idea of chesed. Kinderlach, the Rebbein Yishlom is not going to let you down. Someich Hashem lechol ha'nefesh. He's not going to let you down. I have this feeling in my kishkis that we are going to see awesome things here in the course of the next few months. The moment of truth, the great clash is coming, drawing closer day by day. And you know what? Boy, is this world gonna have a shock. Will they have a shock? We should all be zeite gesunte heit to see it, and the Rebbein Shem should give us all a gemar chatima tova and a chag sameach.
When I introduced Rabbi Gold, I said, you know, we're bound to learn something new, and he certainly did. I was just wondering to myself, had I known Rabbi Gold